Kia ora koutou, no mai haere mai ki kikarts, Tamaki Makaurau's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night here at Planet FM 104.6 or live stream planetaudio.org.nz. Ko Marianne Infante Tene, your host for the next 90 minutes. Team, we have some really wholesome people in the room. I could be wrong. More than welcome to prove me wrong. But I am ridiculously excited because you know what? I feel like we're going to have some good yarns this evening, guys. But just to start the show, as always, we're going to start it nice and relaxed. This was a good recommendation from one of our guests this evening. This is If I Move to Mars by Thomas Oliver. Let's see if I can put this on without a problem.
Come with me. If I move, if I move to Mars, if I move to Mars, will you come with me? We can find a small spot of land, build a house with our hands, and make the walls from imaginary plans, and lay the rocky love right across the floor. There'll be no concrete or corners at all. We won't even need a closing door. There won't be a lady we'd be paying daily just to stay, maybe, if the neighbors ain't complained lately. If I move to Mars, if I move to Mars, will you come with me? We could take a mixer and cables and both my turntables and a couple crates on my best white label and space oddity and dark side of the moon. We can bring the cognac and we've been saved for an extraordinary barricade. And we can lie in the dirt, speaking out a word, looking up at Earth, just be one with the universe. If I move to Mars, if I move to Mars, will you come with me? If I move, if I move to Mars. If I move to Mars, will you come with me? 'Cause I just want you to be with me too. Yeah, I just want you. Oh, maybe 80 million Ks to anywhere. I want you.
Wow, that was a really good recommendation, Tyler. Thank you so much for that. And because I mentioned your name, hi, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Marianne. How are you?
I'm so good. Thanks for asking.
No problem.
I always forget that people can ask me the same questions, but yeah, thank you. I'm great. I'm a bit tired, but it's Sunday.
Yep,
Monday tomorrow, I got to do it all again.
Yeah.
So we have we've got the crew from the Glow Show at the moment, but I'm going to start with you, Tyler. Please introduce yourself.
Kia ora whānau, ko hukurangi te maunga, ko waipu te ao, ko Ngāti Porou te iwi, no tiki tiki ahau, ko Tyler Wilson, ko kiri tōku ingoa. Kia ora everybody.
Kia ora. So tell us, what is your involvement with the Glow Show?
Okay, so I'm one of the puppeteers of the Matariki Glow Show, and I play quite a few characters. One of the characters I play is Iomatu Akore, the god of nothingness. And and a array of other cool characters as well. So
I'm always so fascinated. I'm like that child with just like my eyes. Like I'm like a child in a candy store. I'm just like, tell me more. And I want to swing over to you, Sarah. Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Please introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. Good evening. Great to be here. Thank you. We're here with a couple of our cast and Midge, who wrote the music for the show.
Amazing.
Sarah Burren's my name.
What do you do?
What do I do?
So important.
No idea. What do I do? The older you get, you realise you know nothing, right? Produce, create work with other people, collaborate, make things.
Which is kind of the most important thing
Absolutely.
In the industry, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Who connects us all? You. Mm. It's Sarah.
Absolutely.
Amazing. And I'm going to swing over to the person next to you. Hi, Midge.
Kia ora, talo whalama, talo hani.
Music.
Yes.
Hello. How does that work out for a Glow Show production?
Well, it's full of music, it's full of acting, it's full of characterizations and things like that. So I write the script and write the music and co-directed the show as well. So
does that make the process easier, having the power to write the show as well as put the music on top? Mm-hmm. Or is it normally two people that does their job?
Usually it's a team.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I found it was easier just to sit down because I knew exactly what needed to be where and all that kind of thing.
You're like, so, I am the team.
I am team.
There is an I in the team. Amazing. And we've got our fourth person of the crew. We have Ricky Lee.
Hey.
Is it Ricky Lee or just Ricky?
Oh, yeah. My mates call me Ricky, so.
Oh.
Ricky, sweet.
Guys, I'm a mate now.
Just like that.
Thanks, guys.
So what do you do, Ricky?
I'm one of the puppeteers, and I'm still buzzing out that I'm saying that because, I never thought I was going to be a puppeteer in my life.
We'll put that on the scene.
Yeah. actually is so, like, ridiculously fascinating when you finally land a role like puppeteering.
Because,
you know, like, as a child, I was quite an analog child, but, you know, I made my own games at home, you know, cut up your own paper dolls and stuff, and then suddenly I'm like, yeah, my actual role is puppeteering. How's that been for you?
Yeah, no, it's been like a massive sort of learning curve, this whole journey, just jumping into it. When I first saw it, I was like, glow in the dark show. Oosh, mean. And it was like puppeteers or puppets. I was like, hey, how does that work? Like, you know, and then we got, when I cracked the role, I was like, yo, and then...
I'm going to make it work.
And then, like, one of the brothers, we were working on Astro Man together earlier in the year.
That's where I know you.
So we ended up auditioning together, and so we've kind of been doing mahi since the beginning of this year together, which has been awesome.
And long.
Yeah. He's like, I've had enough of her.
You can let it out, Tyler.
Just for everyone to hear.
I do want to know. So, do you guys all travel together?
Yes.
Wow. And how many in total in terms of the whole crew?
There's eight of us. Four support, or so four crew, four cast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, if you think about it, it's still a pretty big crew to roll around. So, where have you been?
Well, should we start from the top?
So I'll try and remember.
This is your flexing moment.
So we started off in Waikato, so we went to Hamilton, Whakatane, Napier, Gisborne, Rotorua, Taupō, Palmerston North, New Plymouth, Whanganui, Wellington, Nelson, Picton, Westport.
What's the furthest down south you've been?
That was
Westport.
Westport, yeah.
Wow.
It's like the middle of nowhere.
Whole town.
It actually is.
We really made a point of going to regions this year.
Yeah. Well, because Westport, I feel like they have a number of opportunities that, you know, shows that come rolling over there. And how was this taken in Westport?
Pretty worried to begin with because it didn't seem like it was moving, you know, just one or two tickets, and then all of a sudden we had half a house filled.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So the kids
fantastic.
Were phenomenal.
Yes.
They had some of the best questions.
The beer party session.
Out of all of the shows that we had done, and I was sick as a dog during those shows, so I felt so guilty.
Did you pass it on?
I didn't. I think it was passed on to me.
The whole crew,
bar me.
Yeah.
But that you're doing that tour, there's always that one week, that one sick week. But I had three of them, so.
So how many weeks in total were you on the road? Plus the three that's coming up now.
Four.
Wow.
Yeah, on
and
top
a half.
4 weeks. Yeah,
kind of. Yeah, 4 and a half.
And 2 days in Tauranga last week.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. Actually, it was actually like a really massive tour for all of us. I think it was like the second week on tour. My koro was flown into hospital and he passed away in the middle of our touring season, and that was such a massive, crazy journey for me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with the support of the whānau, like the crew, and we managed to kind of rearrange some of the shows so I could make it to the Tangi and things like that. So, yeah, that was... it was crazy.
The real epitome of what art is, eh?
Yeah, and, like, you know, I had a few, like, whānau, like, oh, can't you just take a day off? And it's like, bro, do you even know what I do? You can't just put, like, 100, like, kids, you know, or a couple hundred kids. Or, oh, sorry, kids, no show today, you know. Yeah. Like, and working with Ticket Tech and all of that kind of stuff, it was, yeah, massive as.
That's why the team is so important, eh?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you.
I mean... good job, team, for holding the fort.
Yeah.
And yeah, it always is a fascinating time when one person can't hold the space and other people come in and frisk
you. Everyone was there to kind of pick me up. Where did you guys pick me up from? Somewhere, like, we met halfway at Taihape or something. I don't know. It was somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Random gas station. No, it was next to Hamilton.
Tiro.
Tito?
Something
teen.
I have no idea where
that is. Yeah, I was in a state afterwards, and some of the crew were like, yeah, so it's all good. Like, we'll come pick you up. We'll sort it out. And I was kind of just... it was quite late, and so I was expecting, you know, just one of the bros picking me up. And
the whole crew
like jumped out of the van. We're like, we got you, sis. And I was like crying but happy. And
you know what, it does make that whole grieving process so much easier, eh? Fascinating that you brought this up, because I have an Auckland dad who passed away literally 3 days ago.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. But you know what?
Your creative work pulls you through everything, eh?
Exactly. So healing. The people I find, just because, you know, the people that do work in the creative industry aren't here to muck around.
Yeah.
And they're here with the whole mind and the whole heart and, you know, and so compassionate. Just why it's just like people value the arts, man. There's genuine people in it.
It's just like a bigger purpose, eh? Like
absolutely.
Part of a bigger picture.
And I got to say, these guys, when they auditioned, they had no idea what they were putting themselves into.
The
puppetry is so intense. Yeah. They're holding the baton, like they're acting multiple roles. There's no like waiting around. It's just passing the baton for 40 minutes with 50 characters. Yeah. And really, it's very intense work.
I'd love to see like a behind the show, like behind the scenes.
Oh my gosh, it is crazy.
Military, it's military.
Yeah. One of the puppets that I play, his name's Hotutu the Taniwha. And he's this giant puppet and... his head weighs about 5-6 kilograms.
No way.
So you're holding it around, and he kind of moves around like a Chinese dragon, like this, he's shaped. So he's kind of moving around heaps, and
he's 5 meters.
Your forearm's just like set on fire.
And how many people does it take to puppeteer?
Two.
But there are times when I've had to puppeteer him just by myself.
Oh my god.
Kind of
I was a very skinny man before the show.
You're like, the guns are out now. We also have a lovely Arjun just nodding along in the corner here. Hey man.
Hey.
How are you?
Really good, thank you.
Yeah. I'm so good. I'm so, so good. Please tell us who you are and what you're doing hanging out here with us tonight.
Sure. My name's Arjuna Oaks. I'm a musician based down in Wellington, actually, at the moment. Yeah, so up Auckland playing a show, a couple shows.
Are you here just, like, randomly and I managed to nab you?
Pretty much, yeah. Crazy, eh? No, just seeing family.
You know what? It's meant to be.
Exactly.
It's amazing. So what? Okay. Are you going to move to Auckland soon? Or, like, where's the muse?
So I grew up in Auckland. Yeah, yeah. So I grew up in Titirangi.
Oosh.
And yeah, yeah.
Did you hear about the rats in Titirangi?
Oh, oh what?
Sorry to bring
have
that.
Have you seen the memes infested. Of the rats?
Okay, I have to. I have to.
How big are they?
Oh, okay, I'll get a
bush rats.
I'll get there. I. This is a public service now. I, Marianne, I have a ginormous phobia of rodents.
Oh.
And when I read this on, is it New Zealand Herald or stuff?
Yes.
What, rats the size of cats.
Yeah.
They roam around in groups of 10 and they're not scared of humans. Do you, I used to work in Titirangi and I'm like, never again. You will not. And I used to live by, you know, Waitakere.
I'm London's like, got those massive rat traps. They live around all the bakeries.
Why have they just all of a sudden popped up? Like,
because
surely they didn't just like...
The article started off by talking about how there used to be a massive chicken population, right?
Oh, yes.
And,
yes.
And the community would come together and just feed them there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
then the rats got the
rats
chickens.
That's the rats or less chickens. Of them, yeah.
Probably both. Okay. I'm so sorry, Arjuna, that's how I...
I'm not going to visit the folks anymore.
I'm right next door in England, right next door.
I mean,
you better not come over.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get eaten by rats...
We need those Avondale spiders to show them what's up.
I actually cannot.
They're killing the bird life, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst thing.
Oh. Art show talks about nature.
Like,
Anyway, Arjuna... Whenever a musician just announces they're a musician, it just sounds so much like hotter. What is up with that? Is that a thing? Is that a criteria you have to hit when you become a musician? Because I'm never going to be a musician. Is that something that you practice, like introducing yourself, or?
Not really. I mean, some people say that they're a musician and they probably shouldn't be saying that they're a musician. You know?
Shade.
Midge is like, yeah.
I suppose.
Whoops out of the
Yeah, I'm never people. Always comfortable saying I'm a musician. I don't
why
know
is
why.
That?
I don't really associate myself being what I do, you know? That
I'm
goes
like
deep.
With acting, though.
You know?
I've only recently been saying I'm
to embrace
it's called
it.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're an
like,
imposter.
I used to just say, yeah, I act. But
yeah.
Like,
you know. Well, in a sense, that is exactly what you do, you know. And then if people attack what you do, they're not attacking you because you're not associating that with yourself, you know. It's not a personality thing, it's just what you do.
We want to back ourselves more in New Zealand, don't you think?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
This conversation literally comes up every Sunday.
Yeah. No, I think it's good.
It's so important. I mean, you know, the whole being confident and, you are your instrument, right? You got to be able to...
Yeah,
surrounding yourself with positive can-do people.
Hey guys,
you know,
I'm here.
It's hard work.
We're in the right place.
Yeah.
You know, great financial security. Not.
Nah, but for real though, like have you heard that like whakatauki about you know the sweet kumara and all of that kind of thing? It's kind of just like taking it to a whole nother level though, because. Like it's this blurred line between being cocky and just straight being proud of your talents and what you've worked hard at, you know?
No, exactly, yeah.
But I think the thing where we trip up is that we have the assumption that it's going to be cocky.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's what I mean. That's like the... I don't know.
Yeah, when I tell my whānau anyway, even especially my whānau who's over the sea in the Philippines, when I tell them I'm an actor, they expect the limo, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, my version of helicopter is...
Well, it's either the two extremes, you know, that people get in their head. You're either like a broke artist or a really successful one. But
I would love the middle ground of that.
Absolutely, working their whole lives in creative industry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Having a ball, you know?
When I was still studying at Unitech, Fasitoa came over to just talk to us aspiring actors, and he said this. He had this kōrero with us where he was like, "If your bank account is at zero, you're doing really well." And I was looking at this guy who I knew was, like, super successful, and I was like, this guy's a joke. And then I met Fasitoa now, like, having, you know, being in the industry and over a couple of years now, I was like, man, you are so right. I'm, like, -1 every now and then. But when I'm at zero,
I'm working,
and I'm at zero, I shout myself that Big Mac.
I think it's keeping busy and keeping your projects on the go, you know, and... Some have more advancement than others, and it's being able to get something really solid, you know, happening.
That's why you got to find your tribe, right?
Yeah.
The arts is so vast and so small at the same time that when you find your bread and butter, You gotta slather that everywhere. Look, I'm really using up the milking there. Arjuna, I'm interested. What is your main inspiration in terms of being in the music world? Go good, as deep as
good
you want,
question.
Mate.
Yeah. Well, I've been playing music for my whole life, and it's been a huge part of me. And I suppose. I've just seen how it brings people together, you know. Mm. It's a huge, powerful tool to share ideas, share emotions, share positive, reinforce positive ideas. Like, a lot of my music is just about empathy and about empathy towards, you know, people you might not just, you know, not just your best friend or your parents or
people,
yes. Mm-hmm. Something that I've found really helped me understand my own musical journey is I'm a piano teacher, privately now down in Wellington, but I was working for OMAC, which is Otago Music and Arts Centre. Piano teacher there.
Wow.
Yeah, brilliant work down there. So, so cool.
Do musicians always, like, it's, okay, this is for you too much.
Gravitate.
As someone who is just utterly incapable of instruments, like, if you learn how to read notes or, you know, because there's, you know, tone deaf or some people, like, are good with their ears. If you know how to play guitar or piano, do you know how to play everything else? Obviously, practice, I get that. But, like, do you understand the mechanism? I don't even know the lingo, mate.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's kind of like you understand, like, you can read music. Like, I read music, but it doesn't necessarily mean I understand where those notes are on a different instrument because they all work differently.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an age that's appropriate to start learning instruments?
No.
No.
No. I've taught people from 5 to 70. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's
exactly.
So cool.
Yeah. I see the light in the tunnel.
Seriously, no, you're not too old.
Who else in this room? Team, if you don't know who's in this room, we have Sarah, we have Midge, we have Ricky, we have Tyler, and we have Arjuna. Who else knows how to play an instrument?
Not for ages, though.
Hey, own it. Own it, Sarah. Tyler?
I've been playing guitar for about 9 years now.
Mm. How good are you, though? 1 to 10. 10 being real rock star.
Ricky says so.
Yeah, I reckon he's good.
So, like,
no,
a 10?
I've been like playing music and busking for a while.
No way.
And these guys sing. These three sing.
I always think people who can sing can always play guitars. Or, like, you know, just they know the note.
Maybe that's the Aotearoa thing. Because, like, how many people away? Just jam.
Yeah.
Okay. I always make the excuse that my fingers are too short for a guitar.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I can't play guitar.
So, what's your main instrument? Like,
piano.
But
don't you have to have, like, wide fingers?
Yeah.
I thought so, yeah. Like, I kept complaining about
it. You must be really fast.
Yeah. You get a lot of. Yeah. I used to complain to my teacher that my hands were too small to play all the stuff that he was playing, and then we held up each other's hands and they were exactly the same size. It's not about, you know, it's about how long you do it and how much practice, but also
practice,
yes, but also it's not just about practice, but it's understanding where that practice gets you, and because that drives you to practice more. When I'm teaching kids, you know, when I was a kid and I got told by my teacher and my parents to practice, I never practiced. I'd play a lot and I'd improvise, and that's what I'd love to do now. But with kids, I find that if you show them what they, when they do a bit of work, when they get that spark and they, you know, really love what they do, then they'll practice because they want to get to that moment. Yeah.
Well, finding the fun in that.
Exactly. The fun and the creativity. And I find it's more than just teaching piano. It's about teaching all these ideas and skills that they're going to learn and use the rest of their lives, like communication and dedication and motivation.
I feel so appreciation.
Appreciation.
Well, it's so funny because, like, my teacher was the same. Yeah. And then she showed me this documentary of this guy who was a jazz virtuoso.
Yeah.
And he had no fingers, he just had nubs.
What?
Oh my God.
Okay.
He could actually get his
if there's
hands
a will, there's a way.
Like this, and I was like, And he was amazing.
We got to watch that video.
Midge, that's making me cry, man. That is. I have nothing to complain about.
Exactly. That's exactly what I said.
Shut me down. Like that. Uh-huh. Wow. Okay, cool. I'm going to learn guitar. If anyone wants to teach for free, that'd be great. This poor artist.
Negative one.
One grand, but anyway. I want to know, Mitch, what's your, other than, what was your inspiration to creating The Glow Show, to writing it?
I did a lot of work with Sarah. Years ago, we did a lot of children's shows. When I was, I met her when I was at film school. And we used to do big shows down at the
Logan Campbell Centre.
Yeah. And all the money that we used to raise would go to a charitable, a charity each time.
$500,000 a year.
Yeah.
Koru Care, Burns Unit, Radio Lollipops.
I'm really sensitive right now. Any of this conversation made me cry.
Yeah. There were five children's charities.
Kidney Foundation.
Yeah,
lots of them.
Yeah.
So I met her doing that work, and then she said, I've got this great idea, we need to do something for Matariki.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of where this was born.
It's so good. Yeah. Oh, guys, I knew this was going to be a wholesome show.
So now.
Because we are wholesome people.
I'm so in love with all of you.
I said to this tech that's been around with us, I said to him, you can run now. Now's your time to run away.
Wow.
This young 18-year-old that's been along with Cody Cody, who's our technical director.
Yeah.
And I said, you're out, Kev. Mm. Out to you, Kev. And he, I said, run now. He
that's
loves
amazing.
It. He said, what am I going to do when I get back to Tamati, you know, when I get back here?
That's the one thing that I don't like about, you know, doing projects and stuff. Like, you get so freaking tight with people.
You're so invested,
like,
eh?
And, like, literally, like, you know you have each other's back. Well, I mean, in my experiences anyway, I've always had really awesome crews. And
it's a lot about you, sis.
Yeah.
But it just gets so, like, pody, like, afterwards when you're like, oh, it's going to be a wrap, and then... Mm. And then we're all on, like, our own grind, trying to find the next sort of, like, you know, kaupapa project to work on afterwards. But, like you get so tight, and then it's like, you know, I'm lucky with Tyler. Like, we got to do, like, two projects back-to-back pretty much. Mm. And, you know, and, I don't know, it's just, it sucks how things are like that, you
but
know.
But also, like, I think that's the journey, though, right? Like, it's the journey of finding who are the people that will gravitate to your energy and will latch on, like you two who've worked for years before.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was trying to explain this to a couple of friends of mine who are doing law and things that are outside of the creative world. Mm. And I tried to explain, I was like, the arts is so, it's built with communities, of like by communities, but it's so freaking isolating at the same time. Mm. Like, I was trying to explain, oh, guys, it's about to get dark, but anyway. Wrap yourselves up warm and get yourself some hot chocolate drink, I don't know, what, or wine, go for gold. But yeah, I was just trying to explain, I was like, I constantly am project after project, but once you leave the set, or once you leave the space, you're like, who's around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I think it's so important to, you know, always check in on your mates, eh?
Yeah.
And this conversation is so big right now.
Yeah.
Like, do it. Mm. Like, a simple, are you okay, and actually mean it.
Yeah.
Goes a long way.
Mm. Totally.
And if, you know, if everyone gets rid of that stigma of, you know, not being able to ask a friend if they're all good, then people will be more comfortable to ask for help, I reckon. Mm.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street, right? It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, thanks for bringing that up, girl.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so right, true. Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, you know, like, people in the, in like, the creative spaces, it's pretty crazy because you have so many kind of, like, wānanga or, like, you know, just the process of creating projects together. And, you know, you create environments where you feel safe, you know, to be vulnerable and express things just so you can find your characters and things like that. And, you know, in those circles, like, you do feel like, yeah, like, I really know this person, you know. And then,
it's your heart and your guts.
Yeah,
absolutely,
you know, just,
absolutely, absolutely.
And you think, like, yeah, man, like, you know, if the bro was in a, like, crappy situation, like, I'd legit be there and stuff. And then you hear crazy things like, you know, the bro that passed away not long ago, and you're just like, that's for real. There's so many people in the industry that... Even though we are, like, taught, it's part of our job to express, but it's, on the other side, it's still people kind of hide a whole lot of, you know, mamai that, it can be quite scary to, you know, see all of our brothers hurting like that. And
it's
also the wahine as well, you know, everyone.
Everyone, and I think this job... I think in any shape or form, even as a musician, I would assume that, you know, when you're writing your feelings on a page or in a music and lyrics and a story, I think it leaves you so open.
Yeah.
So open and so empty and full at the same time. Because you, especially with live performances, right? Mm. You gotta leave everything on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what do you do after?
Yeah, you have to, I think a lot of people have to find like their own personal way of wrapping it up, like closing it up to protect yourself. Mm. Because, you know, when you're playing like some pretty hearty characters, you know, you're that for a long time, and then coming out of it, if you don't do it properly,
it stays
and it's
dangerous, man.
Totally.
I think that old saying called, you know, having a couple of strings to your bow is really important. So if you're in the industry, maybe you've got another part to your role, or you know, you're a singer as well as an actor, so you go down the singing route for a while. Or, you know, I've done years of costume making. That's kind of got me through lots of things.
You mix it up.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to.
Yeah, I found that with teaching as well. Like,
very much so.
Being a songwriter and a performer, it can get quite isolating and also very feels very selfish, right? Because I think you do have to, if you're a writer or a creator, you do have to write and create through a personal lens, because you're the only person that's experiencing your life the way you see it.
Exactly.
But it can feel quite selfish, so having something like teaching then taught me to you know, want to reach out to my community and help. And then my music started to become more empathetic. So you're totally right. It's not just for the arts, but also for you as a human being, you know?
When we were in New Plymouth a couple of weeks ago, Tyler was rehearsing a couple of lines with another one in the cast, and it sounded so real. I said to the venue technician, don't worry, they're just rehearsing, because someone's going to have a punch-up back there. But they were so on.
Well, that was like us too. Yeah. We were just in the room and
good.
Yeah, some of our friends come and visit and things like that, and they actually thought like something was going on. They're like, what's happening?
Yeah. When
like,
do we start?
Like,
yeah.
No, we're just doing the script.
Sorry.
It was real though, huh?
Speaking of, like, it's also the way that you express yourself specifically through the thing that you're working through, because there's also such a thing as bringing up emotions or memories or things in your imagination that you actually haven't settled in yourself with yet. And I tended to do a lot of that back when I studied, just because...
Dig it up, triggered stuff.
And I was like, oh man, if I'm crying and if I'm feeling this anger and if I've got snot bubbles coming out of my nose, that means I'm doing good acting, right? But I wasn't doing a very good... thing of looking after myself.
That's when well-being becomes such an important aspect,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Every time this kind of conversation comes up, I'm like, do you guys know of Bornie Tarongapai?
Yeah, he's done a huge
love
amount.
That man.
Yeah.
If he's listening, I know you're not. You're busy, man. I'll send you the
he's
link.
He's listening.
I'll send him the link.
Bornie better be listening.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just his mahi is so important, especially in the creative realm, of looking after the people in the story that people hold. Mm. Because at the end of the day, you know, like what you were talking about, reaching out to a community, it's a hand-in-hand situation, right? Mm. It's you with the community, because who are you doing it for, right? And why are you doing it?
Mm.
Oh, guys, this is such a good conversation.
And it's not being victim written all over your face. It's just the reality of being a creative person in a creative world.
Sharing a certain amount of vulnerability allows people to sympathise and connect with each other, you know.
Yeah. But also, we're very lucky in the way that we get to express our feelings through a creative lens. We get to show that.
Not everyone has that.
People
it's
can
a
do
privilege.
That sports and
it's
stuff.
A privilege.
It's very therapeutic.
Yeah. We've had a couple of kids dancing around excited, you know, to go on the show. And I go, there's a choreographer dancing. It's cool. Yeah. So the itchy pants ones always end up being choreographers.
That's a thing that like I like about doing tours or like just performing, doing shows. And like when I was younger, I mean, I didn't really kind of think that this was like a thing that you do, because like even so like when I was at school, it's like, you know, after like kuda you go to university and you do this and you get
medicine.
A job, like, you know,
get a real job,
there's like these three sort of things that you should aspire to do. And then like as I kind of got to those kind of decision making times, I started like so many things started opening up, and I was like, oh my gosh, why do people do that? Like so many people, I mean, I've seen so many, you know, adults who just like go home and they're like literally hate what they do every day, and I'm like,
pops a bottle of wine.
I will never do something like that. go and do a job that I hate and go home every day. Nah,
a job
even though
every
the,
day.
Even though it's like, you know, the grind is for real, yo. Like it's for real. I mean, like I was in like financially last year. Oh hell.
What is finances?
That's a thing. I know, but like, I mean, I have a huge belief in like, you know, the universe and like knowing that like things just gonna work out.
This
but
is that
getting there.
Yeah.
Was, yeah.
Some of the kids at the show going, I want to do that.
Yeah. And then they go, oh, awesome. I can do this. And you're like, yes, you can. You right. If you want to.
Team, hold up. When I was in year seven, a touring company came along, and that was genuinely me, Midge, for real. I was like, oh, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna be Jasmine in an Aladdin kids show. And you know what? I will one day. Not yet. Haven't had Jasmine Roll come along.
You gotta learn how to play guitar first.
Jasmine doesn't play guitar.
She will.
She plays. She plays them heart.
She's got a rock number. You know?
Fusion.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. And you know what, Arjuna, are you ready for this? Do you want to do a little intro too before I play your music?
Yeah, sure.
Go on, tell us about Deep End.
Deep End, cool. Well, I wrote the song maybe 2 years ago at high school. I went to Avondale College, just around the corner.
Kia ora.
Yeah, Dale represent. And, yeah, it's just, I suppose it was a song about personal relationships. I kind of haven't written that many songs about that. I've kind of turned to write a lot more about social issues these days, and I haven't recorded much of those songs yet. But the song, yeah, I had it for a couple of years, and then beginning of this year recorded it at Roundhead Studios. Very lucky to get a spot in there through a band I used to be in called The Shambles. Name drop. And, it's just... Amazing. Make up your own mind.
All right, guys. This is Deep End by Arjuna Oaks.
Yo.
You talk way too much to even know where your world is headed. Where you want to go? My mind's always racing, but they say I'm slow. And your heart's always pacing, don't wanna get that low. But now I know. I'm in the deep end. Still, now it's too short.
broken. Feel like your youth was stolen. And I know that you are broken. But how come I have to be dragged in? I'm in the deep end.
Yo, that was deep.
Oh, yes. Thank you. No pun intended.
Is this the end?
Oh, I love it. You know what? I just, and it's such a nice, like, if it's something you can, like, sit and listen to, and also just, like nice background music to all just the things we're talking about back here. That's nice.
Cheers.
How long did it take you to write that? Or make it?
Ooh. Not that long when I first wrote it. Yeah, I tend to kind of, before I'm studying, or was studying, well, still am, jazz, and so I've learnt music at university. Oh, so nice. I've learnt a lot of theory, and this was kind of before that, so I suppose I was a lot more intuitive back then, intuitive songwriter, which is brilliant, which is the way to write, right?
Yeah.
Of course, that poses, its own problems, because if you're too intuitive, then you travel the same ground, so it's good to have, for me, I find it's very good to have a balance of the technical and the emotional, you know, the intuitive and the academic. And so with this song, I wrote pretty much all the verse, chorus, kind of in high school, and then developed it through first year of uni. And then when I went to record it, I realized, oh, man, I need a bridge. Right, there's no bridge, so I wrote a bridge kind of much later, like almost 2 years after I wrote the first.
When all your ideas must have changed and formed and shifted.
Yeah, and I added non-diatonic chord progressions in the bridge and made it different. Sorry, that's
no idea what that said.
That's basically just going out of a key, right? A musical key. Yep. So the whole rest of the song, this is why I released this song first, because
my face?
Yeah.
No one can see it. Brilliant. Essentially just I got slapped in the face.
I released the song first because I thought it was my most kind of poppy, diatonic kind of, I'm using quotes, song, right? So I wanted to add, it's all right to compromise a bit, but I find, you know, you've got to put yourself in everything you do.
But proper development, I reckon that's something we really lack in New Zealand, is developing something to get to the quality you want it to be, you know?
And it's so personal, you know, and that's why it's so hard to teach, but if education is more personalised, you get a more well-rounded person, you know?
You know what? Really, you're helping me with my tangent.
Oh, awesome.
Kids, tamariki, children, future. Yeah. Guys, I'm surrounded by educators, essentially. Yeah. Because it's what we do, right? Life skills. Yeah. Aroha. How do we give that to kids? Like you said, it's so hard to teach because it's so personal. And there's a lot of compassion and empathy around that. But, can I ask, Midge, do you have to like kids to write for kids?
No, not at all, because there's so many different aspects to kids. Kids aren't all just like cookie cutter. They all have their own personalities and all that. So no.
We were all kids.
We still are, right?
I'm still a big kid.
People grow up and get boring, old and boring.
They forget. Yeah.
We just get two tens and we overthink, I think.
Absolutely.
It's nice to be in touch with your younger self, eh?
Absolutely. I reckon creatives stay young.
Forever.
Because, you know, it's, like you said, boring. Gets snooze fest after a while.
You need some of that innocence to be creative, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
You
know?
Yeah.
Also some of that instinct as well. They definitely act before
so
they
much
think.
Intuition.
And they're honest.
Savagely
honest.
Because they're more in touch with their feelings, you know, because they haven't been opened up to all these other concepts get lost in, you know.
Every day. Do you like the show?
No, that's what you want.
Is that you singing Prove It? You know, this sort of stuff.
Wow.
I love it. Like, I don't believe you until I see it properly, which is great, right? But with adults, we make excuses, right? Oh.
The thing is with the with these guys that are puppeteering, they've got to really engage children. They can't see them because the whole show's UV. So all they can see are these giant scale characters. So the actors have to work in such a different way,
Because the mouths on the puppets don't move either, so it's
literally floating characters.
In their, you know, their delivery.
It works. I say that from my iPad. It works. It looks great. It looks amazing. And it should be a TV show, I reckon.
Yeah, moving towards that.
Oh, hello.
Tell
but puppeteered, not animation.
Yeah, I mean,
animation
it's a whole
would be too much of a jump cut. Yeah, but puppeteered. Filmed puppetry, yeah.
Because puppeteering is like a whole nother beast, right? Like
absolutely.
Putting emotion to objects, which kids do, right?
Yes.
Always. And how do you, like, honestly, how? How does one put life in an object, Tyler?
You move it around really quick so they don't know that it's not saying stuff. straight up. If you think that I'm a puppeteer after 3 weeks, that is not good. Because I'm definitely not. Like you say, there's a lot of...
He's a voice master, though. Incredible voice master, yeah.
Different bows to... Different strings to your bow?
Yeah.
That's what I was getting.
Got very good voices.
Yeah.
Okay, I actually am really interested because I'm hearing a lot of different things in terms of, like, what builds all of your... characteristics in this room. I want to know, other than as an actor, what else do you do to pay the bills, or like what else do you do?
I'm training to become a professional wrestler.
Yes.
Boom.
Yeah. So this shirt that I'm wearing,
Spartan.
Spartan. So that's not me. That's my friend Sam Black. So there's a quick little shout out to him because he actually just got concussed for the 8th time last night.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So what? So I was the ring announcer for the matches and stuff, and before it. He was practicing one of the moves, and he landed on his head.
Ooh.
And his match had to be completely swiped from the card because he had to go to hospital. So him and my friend who looks after him, they had to rush to hospital, and both of them were in matches. So all the matches had to be turned around, like changed around really quick, and we were lucky that one of our trainees were there because they could jump in and do one of the matches while the other person, there was another person there that did 3 matches that night. This is just my way of giving him a little bit of support.
Your build is fit for it.
I appreciate it.
It's great. Oh, who did that?
That was like a
guys.
Pun.
Yeah, that wasn't me. I'm being honest, guys. I don't have any fancy smancy button for whistles here. What about you, Arjuna? Like, what do you, other than teaching and singing and playing the piano? Is there any other things that you do, like part time job? Are you secretly an amazing barista? Or
I wish. No, I pretty much make a living just from teaching piano. I was very fortunate to be put in a band that toured around New Zealand a lot. We filled rooms with maybe like 400 or 500 people, like around and original music and stuff. I hadn't been.
Are they on Spotify?
Yeah, the Shambles. Yeah, so I hadn't been in that band when they started. I was in there for like a year and a half, couple of years. Pretty up there. We played, you know, Rhythm and Vines and Sound Splash. Yeah, these dudes.
Working.
Tookie Festival, if you know Tookie Festival.
Do you have a favourite song by the Shambles?
Ain't It Hard.
Oh, right.
Keys on that one. Yeah.
All right. I'm looking at it, Tim. might get to hear it.
Yeah. So that paid well and it allowed me to go into the studio and buy a nice keyboard and set myself up down in Wellington.
To be in the Atmos, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah. I mean, it's never a... you know, even though it is an upwards thing, it never feels like that, you know? There's always ups
and
downs.
It's a journey.
And it is, but...
It's how you get there, right? It's never the actual place you're going to.
It feels good to be able to do something you really love and let that pay the bills and allow you to keep making more music. And
hell yeah.
Doing more things.
I mean, like, I work 6 jobs as a creative, but I never feel like I'm actually working. Like right now, apparently I'm working, but I'm just having a conversation with 5 random people that I never would have had the opportunity.
We're constantly killing 2 birds with 1 stone.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as I hate that cliche, that's true.
Absolutely.
Why are we killing birds, Ting? But You dropped before, I don't know if you intended to, are you studying?
Yes, yes, yes.
What are we studying?
Studying jazz performance.
Oh my God.
So I did a couple of years up in here in Auckland, Auckland University, living in the middle of Auckland, and that's while I was, at one point I was studying full time, I was playing maybe 4 gigs a week, like doing like kind of corporate and maybe a couple solo things, and then teaching 2 days a week, so it was a lot of work, and
no rest for the wicked.
No, and I love teaching. I think the most as a kind of a job. I love performing, and I always have. Yeah, and then I really needed a break. Eh? So I've wanted to move down to Wellington for ages, and I love the scene.
Beautiful
down
city.
There. Yeah, and I think the music and arts thrive down there because it's so compact. You know, in Auckland, everything's so far away. So
yeah, spread out. So
but down there, like I'd only been there like 3 months or 2 months, and I was, you know, I put on a show and had a big turnout. You know, and like
because people are so keen. So
it is.
Yeah, and it's just really cool. And so I'm just studying part-time now, so I have time to teach and to make music.
So many things in my head, I don't have time to keep up with all of them. That is so wicked, man.
Thank you.
So happy for you.
Oh, cheers.
And having a break, though, this is another conversation I was having with another freelancer, because you essentially have the power to work as much as you want, and you're the only one who can give yourself a break. But it's so, in terms of backing yourself up, Sarah, what are you talking about? It's also so difficult when your work is how you validate your worth, right? Oh, guys, we're getting real. But how do you guys, have you guys had experience on that, or have you been able to remove yourselves from that? Because I'm still figuring it out. I feel like if I'm not on a gig after gig, I feel like I'm disappearing into the abyss, right? What's any advice, guys?
You just have to have real plan. You know, have your big whiteboard or however you want to do it. Because I think a lot of creatives just go round in circles. You have to have a plan.
You have to push yourself.
And really understanding your strengths and stuff, you know, because like for me, that was me as well. Like for years and years I did, you know, touring, I did acting, I did, you know, teaching, everything. And then last year I was like, I need to take the year off. So I did. You know, I went and travelled the world for a year. So.
Wait.
Like amazingly.
Let's talk about that. What's your top two?
Top two. Mexico, I loved. Spain, absolutely love Spain, and had good friends there in Valencia as well, so that was awesome.
Guys, I'm from New Zealand, do you not know? Traveling, it's so good as well for artists, I reckon.
Opens your eyes.
Absolutely.
I constantly quote Alice Canton, and I don't know if she hears me constantly, but she, you know, a quote that she said one time when she was featuring at Fresh Off the Page, which is a monthly play reading that I do with Proudly Asian Theatre. Oh, name drop. with Proudly Asian Theatre Company. So we're a platform for Asian creatives, right? Emerging, fledgling, and, you know, who have been around and just trying to get their work again. And Alice was like, people need to come see the shows because you don't know, like, you know, the whole thing, you don't know what you don't know. And if there are some life experiences out there that you aren't aware of, it just simply doesn't exist. Go out there and meet people and see life, right? Far out, guys. I'm really enjoying tonight's show. Too much. What about you, Ricky? What else do you do outside of acting when you're not hustling and grinding hard?
I also am an outdoors instructor, and I run...
What does thou mean?
pretty much I work for this... name drop. This company, Portakee Adventures. How I got involved, I've been involved with the company for like 8 years now, and it kind of started when I was doing the Duke of Edinburgh course award system thing through the company, when I think I was about 15 when I started doing it, and completed it, got my gold award. It took like about 3 years or something to complete. You have to do like a skill service to the community and things, as well as trekking through, you know, whangahere and camping, cooking, navigating, and all of that kind of those skills. And then after I kind of did that, my instructor started asking if I wanted to assist with other kind of hikes and things with that. A couple years later, she just employed me, and it wasn't like an official thing. It was just like, hey, are you available? Do you want to help me with this? And so I started doing that. And the other side too, so that's one part of the business, working with rangatahi and teaching them about all of those types of things. And then the other half is with tourism. And so actually it's really cool as well, this part. We host like uni groups at Piritahi Marae on Waiheke Island. Yeah. They usually come and do like either a semester at Auckland Uni or something, and for their first week they come and do like an orientation with us on the island. But also tours, just, you know, day tours around the island. And so I started doing that this year as well.
Wow.
Yeah. So like that's, like when I'm not on a kaupapa, I'm kind of going doing that. And it's cool because it's kind of like a whole year. Like, there is a high peak season, obviously, mm-hmm. in summer, but
yeah.
It's all through the year, which is... And
are they surviving like, without you?
They are getting messages when we're on tour, and they're like, Ricky, we miss you. Like, when are you coming back?
But you're like, I'm still touring, don't worry. Yeah. Just but not with you right now.
And so Bianca Ranson, that's her company, so Māori-owned, run Kia ora, business.
Nice.
And she's, like, one of my closest friends now. Kind of more like a mentor, but mm-hmm. she's like, you know, really
hey, your
close
mentors
friends.
Can be your whānau.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, so that's like one side of what I do, and I also help run Māori movement classes, and that's kind of like it's sort of like a holistic approach of like healing and training, I guess, like training the mind, training tinana, using kind of just movements that have been handed down, so you know, through generations, and we've put it together for like in different combinations.
So mesmerized by you.
Yeah, and it's that mahi has been, not to sound cliche or anything, but this company, yeah, pretty much saved me, I would say, in some pretty kind of dark spaces once upon a time. And it's just helping people, you know, that are just a bit lost, and just mm-hmm. helping to reconnect. And you don't have to be Māori to do it. That's the best thing.
I was going
to
ask.
Yeah, no. It's like, sorry, you're not Māori, get out, no. But, yeah, like, it's so rewarding. And, you know, people, like, we did a tour last year all around Australia, and meeting people that have been gone from home, like, for 30, 40 years, it just blows my mind. Like, I could never do that. Mm. But, you know, seeing this, and they're like, oh, my gosh, like, oh, you know, I thought there was just no hope for me because whatever, you
There's
know.
There's always
hope. It's just so cool. And then, like, you know, from Kuya all the way down to, you know, our babies that take part in these classes. They have another part, I guess, in Haka Theatre. We kind of fuse traditional kapaka, your usual kind of in the box sort
I
of
love
movement.
Listening
and
to
then
this stuff.
Dance
so good.
As well, contemporary dance. So we fuse it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
awesome too.
Yeah. And so, you know, Stan Walker's music video clip,
New
Takeover.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was us. And that one, that was our company doing that.
Shout out.
Yeah. Nice. But so, like, when you were saying before, like, how you've got, you're doing a million jobs and you're working all the time, but, you know, you're only just sort of at the moment, you know, and I'm sure you'll get there.
Yeah.
As we all do. But, yeah, so that's one of the million things. Oh, and I used to be a cook at the Timana Kohanga.
Wow.
Just, you know, by the way.
I love it.
What about you, Midge? Have you been a cook before? Or, like, what else do you do the
Freelancing stuff. So I worked on film and TV for years, producing and directing and all that kind of thing. Talent agency, worked for a talent agency for years.
Have you ever had a job that's not in line with your creative path?
Ooh.
You're like, no, never had to wash toilets before?
No. Oh, once when I went, because years ago when I went and worked on a cruise ship, because I was playing the piano and that.
Still travelling, though.
Yeah. But the only way I could get on there was to, because they needed hiring for the waiting staff in, that, in New Zealand. So I thought I'll do a real tricky one, get on there, and then wean my way over to the entertainment department, get an audition with the head, and then they'll change me over. It happened, so I was kind of like really tin-bummed that one, really.
Go get it.
Mm-hmm. But that was back in the days before internet and all that kind of thing, so it was like very much you had to be there to try, you know?
Yeah. You had to get on the boat.
Yeah.
And you can't be.
And I did, and I was going, I am never going to be a waiter ever again in my life.
Yeah.
But I did it for like 2 weeks and then they swapped me over. They said, absolutely,
They're like, awesome. I'm really bad at this. I'm going to drop heaps of plates if you don't swap me over. What about you, Sarah? Are you full-time creative, full producing?
Yeah, I am now. I've done lived in London for 8 years when I was at fashion college there. And
I
then I went. I ended up going from fashion college to BBC television, which was so lucky at the time.
What a jump.
It was incredible. Wow. Yep. I got picked from fashion college. So I was very lucky at that time. This is in the 80s, I'm talking, at the end of the punk era. lived in London for 8 years, making all sorts of costumes and different pieces of clothing. And at that stage, I worked for a couture house and made a lot of clothing for Princess Diana.
Whoa.
Yeah. And Fergie. Yeah, just trying to say that, you know, in your life, things come your way if you're, and you have to embrace them, you know. And it was incredible working in that couture house. Well, I would never work in one again, but the characters in there. Mm. I wrote a couple of stories about them too, you know. Lived in Toronto, so I then went straight into theatre.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto is very supported. In fact, the whole of Canada has got an incredible arts infrastructure.
Mm.
So you can pretty much work as a costume maker cutter for years, which I did, and had my own clothing brand there. Worked in film and television a lot, but particularly in the theatre industry. That's always been my... You know,
what made you come back to New Zealand?
To be with... I'm a New Zealander, obviously. Mm. To be back with my whānau here, to raise my daughter here.
Go back to roots.
And since I came back here at the very end of 94 and there was no theatre industry, it was pretty much the shit on the bottom of your shoes then. I'm not kidding. You know, it was absolutely...
So it's past 8:30. Like, go home with all the shit.
And my vintage have really paved the way for a lot of stuff that we kind of broke down the barriers of and really spearheaded, you know, getting good infrastructure in place for emergent artists now. Did you see that giant marionette puppet, Rugby World Cup? That was a huge final marionette puppet. Yeah. So I've kind of survived by doing creative concepts, which I get over the line. I've built huge amounts of costumes and characters and puppets.
Does that mean you made the puppets as well for the Glow Show?
Yeah. Yeah.
You should have started.
Couldn't afford to pay someone else to make them.
That's amazing. Okay, I have to ask though, because it's all IV. Wait.
UV.
Ultraviolet.
IV.
IV. Now there's an idea. An IV puppet.
Guys.
Yeah.
This is why.
An IV drip.
I actually wanted to audition for the Glow Show, but I had another gig going on. Yeah. It's all right, guys.
In that audition process, it was incredible. The four cast we have, they were, of course, these two knew each other, but the others didn't. They were just standouts.
Mm. Give them a shout out. Who are your other two puppeteers? You have Ruben.
So we've got the bro Ruben Butler. And then we've also got Bella Robertson.
Amazing. Yeah. I've worked with Ruben because I work with Ruben through Mind Over Manor. He's a stellar like performer.
Hide out.
And is he doing pop-up Globe as well?
He is.
Shows bro just doesn't stop.
He's busy.
Yep.
He's a
good
busy dude.
On him. All right, guys, we're just going to... I really want to play a bit of The Shambles. Is that all right with you?
Do it.
All right, guys, this is Ain't It Hard by... Give him a shout out.
The Shambles.
It's always so much better when someone else says it.
Your pocket, you're kicking cans down the street for so long. You got the demons deep inside your closet. You had it right when it felt so wrong. Ain't it hard enough to remember all of the sweet, sweet times of before? Ain't it hard enough to remember all of the sweet, sweet, sweet sunny times before? Ain't it hard?
ready for any harm.
Was the Shambles. Not bad, Arjun, not bad.
Nice.
What, do you have any like good memories with these guys that you just want to give them a shout out or just say hi? Are you guys still mates?
Yes, yeah.
You're like, no, we're split.
So we
don't
we,
bring it up.
We did split up actually at the beginning of this year, but it was a mutual thing.
It's not you, it's me?
Yeah, exactly. The lead singer is going to go to LA and do a little bit of, you know, the pop music thing. And I was moving down to Wellington, and the guitarist is we're doing some stuff together. CJ is a brilliant producer. And, we played our last show at the Mercury Theatre on Kay Road. Yeah, packed that out.
Awesome.
It was really, really cool experience. But that whole experience was amazing. I was 19 when I joined that band, just jammed with a couple dudes. And then straight away, Rhythm and Vines was the first gig, playing through midnight, you know.
Sorry about it.
And, like, you know, no, it was an incredible experience. You know, it was just thrown into the industry.
Mm.
And it was very, very lucky. And, and a lot of the opportunities I've had after that, like just with my solo stuff and even teaching and getting settled in Wellington, everyone's like, oh, bro, you were in the Shambles.
Mm.
Like, it's cool. Yeah.
I'm interested. What's the difference, like, ethos and all, just like routine-wise, what's different between playing with a group and just playing your own stuff?
True.
Is it quite vastly different, or
kind of? I mean, with my own stuff, I do have a band that plays with me, right? But we're quite a different band because we improvise a lot and we go on tangents, and I'm cueing all the
awesome.
Ends of sections and things.
Cool.
So it's more of a like Jimi Hendrix experience thing rather than Shambles was a lot more cargo, planned. And I was just the sideman in the Shambles, you know. I was to keys and backing vocals, but
let's like on theatre, right? There's no such thing as roles.
Not really,
exactly.
Nah. But it was an amazing experience.
I bet you they would sound so different without all them small keys in the background.
Yeah,
So
no, we all had our part to play, and Max, the lead singer, we always played solos, and I sung a few songs at live sets, and you know, it was always a community thing, and I think that's really important, even as a solo artist, you know, because so much of it lies on your shoulders, branding, and you know, you have to do
the marketing,
which is good,
the admin,
is to get your head around, you know. But
did you ever think you were going to be, you would do like bands and EPs as well, Mitch?
Back in the day, yes. But I think with technology today, it's just so much different. And the opportunities to get yourself out there are a lot different than like in my day. I mean, we gigged and we did
like
all that
dating.
Kind of stuff.
It's like dating. It's all different now because of technology.
Not so reliant on labels now these days.
Exactly.
I mean, it does depend on the music you want to make, though. If you're making pop music, you kind of still need a label to because you're competing with like music that's making a lot of money. Mm. But if you're, you know, music that's lesser kind of commercial, then you don't need a label for that.
No, and anyone can put their stuff out there.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah, yeah.
I put my Instagram story on. I'm making my own. Nah, guys.
You put it on Spotify.
Kids were asking us. Kids were asking us 2 days ago. Is this on YouTube? Is it on YouTube? Yeah. I said it's on Hey Hey. It's on Hey Hey. Do you know Hey Hey?
Yeah.
There's a part in the script that the bro says something about, oh, yeah, I need to upload my
videos to Instagram.
Yeah, my Instagram kind of thing.
I love it.
And, like, afterwards the kids were like, oh, what's your Instagram account? And we were like, oh,
we don't
we
have
probably
one.
Make one.
what's the dream for your music, Arjuna?
Oh, damn.
That's a big question.
Went there.
Swear, we're ending on a high note, obviously. Like, do you want it to go offshore? Like, or are you more just like, I want to maintain it locally or purely for Aotearoa? Or do you want to be...
I mean, more my aspirations as an artist are less about kind of, like, the more kind of trivial material things like getting a Grammy or anything like that. Mm. It's more just making the music that I... really want to making music that's important to people, that really touches them in a way that's profound and different and expresses ideas that might not have been put in front of them, because we're evolving people our whole lives, and music really helps with that. You know, it opens us up to new ideas, and then we can in turn be more empathetic and be more connecting with other people. So I suppose I just want to make a music that really
means something.
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, I'd love to move to London. I love all the...
Let's all move to London.
Yeah, let's do it. I love all the jazz musicians in London, but, I mean, I love New Zealand, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we're in a stage now with, like you were saying, with social media and Spotify, that you can, you know... be in one corner of the world, make your music, get it out there, and then still go and tour, you know, still go and have fans from, like, you know, with that single, not that many people heard it, but I've got, like, you know, a few people heard it in the UK, like a couple hundred people.
Hell,
you know,
yeah.
Like that. Like, it's kind of interesting.
And you know what? More people are going to be listening to it because we're going to be plugging the crap out of your music. But honestly, music is so big. Even, you know, musicals and all these shows, it's quite a milestone ticker in my head. Like, you know, when you think about some real poignant moments in your life, and a song can trigger that.
That's like, I'm like, musical therapy is like that.
Oh,
like,
but
it's also the worst thing. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this song.
turn it off.
Yeah. Or you're like, oh, this song. Yeah. You know, like.
Yeah.
It's a good thing and a bad thing. It's both a curse and a gift.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's talk about what you're really here for. Like, tell us why people should go see the Glow Show. Let's start with you, Sarah.
Because it's the most magical, mesmerising show for, not just for children, for adults alike. It's very cutting edge. Mm. It's like watching a giant TV screen. We've made a theatoon, I call it. Theatre meets cartoon.
It's a theatoon.
It's a theatoon.
Does that have its own
hashtag? It's better than stage goon. It's a theatoon.
Stagoon sounds something
sounds
else.
Yeah, it does. It's a theatoon.
Sounds like a disease.
I also think it's quite inspiring for our performers because it's a really hard art form, puppetry, especially under ultraviolet light. I also think it's bringing out the magic of our Matariki story, based on Nine Stars. And it's also inspiring kids to want to read and write about it and to maybe go home and make their own puppetry.
Get their creative hats on, eh?
Absolutely.
What about you, Mitch?
Yeah, pretty much the same. And like, even just sitting there writing, when I was sitting down writing the script and stuff, I had all these voices and stuff in my head as I was writing it, and just kind of going, I want this to be inspiring for kids so that they can turn around and go, I want to do that one day, you know. And that's totally what it was about for me from the word go. And to see it all stood up now again, and with our new whānau on board acting the crap out of it, it's like, that's exactly what they're doing.
What does it feel like when you're watching your work being performed?
I think it's always kind of, I always kind of expect this is what it's going to look like, and it usually does 9 times out of 10, but I just love it when they bring their own little pieces to the piece.
Definitely.
And, you know, and
definitely.
It's just like, it's even, you know, surpasses what I thought it was going to be. So.
And they bring new stuff still, you know, after it's coming
into
our...
It's beauty of live theatre, right?
Absolutely. Every show is completely different.
Yeah.
Different every
Still
night.
Still gets me every now and then.
What about you, Ricky? Why do you think people should come and see the show?
I think people should come see the show because, well, yes, we are like in the time of celebrating Matariki, but and because the show is based on the Nine Stars, like we have had quite a few questions during our sessions afterwards, and some of the kids are like asking, "Oh, I thought Matariki was Seven Stars," and you know
that's what
I
thought.
It's really relevant at the moment because that is Maori have kind of like. Okay, this is getting a bit deep now, but, you know, like in terms of colonisation, you know, we not only lost our reo and a lot of our tikanga and all of that, but we had tohunga that were, like, astrologists, you know, you know, and they just, they had a lot of things that, you know, were just lost for a long time. So doing the show... bringing, yes, it is make-believe kind of thing, but it's based on truths of the stars. And so...
Truths of the stars.
Yeah.
Like
that, oh, the hashtag there, yeah.
Let's get that tattoo.
But, yeah, so it's kind of, it's sharing definitely the truths of them. And we have little bits and pieces that, like in one of the scenes... they make a wish to Hiwe Te Rangi, and so this star is the star that our karakia, we karakia to this particular star, and those are where your hopes and aspirations are aimed at this particular star.
Wow.
And all of the stars have different purposes, different, the one like kaitiaki of different kind of realms and stuff. So for me personally, like, and this is a journey that I've been kind of going into this year as well, but it's spreading that awareness. And so shout out to Dr. Te Rangi Mātāmua and his Pukapuka Matariki. He's been toying around sharing basically from his great-grandfather, just basically comes straight from a manuscript of one of the tohunga of Tūhoe, iwi, and it's, yeah, to be a part of in a different space, like a kind of kid and fun kind of space, sharing that truth for me is important, and I love being a part of that journey.
I mean, I want to see it because, I mean, just despite being, you know, raised in New Zealand, there's still so much I don't know, and so much I'm so excited to learn. Like Nine Stars, I was like, oh, real?
Yeah. And even for Māori as well, you know, they're like, a lot of people, they're like, well, it's always been Seven Stars, and it's like, well, actually, we just adopted that from the Greek mythology. So
much lost history as soon as English gets plonked on it.
It's the same story, different land all over the world.
Different way of communication, right? What about you, Tyler? Why is it so important for you to be doing this mahi and for people to come see it? He's deep in thought, guys. You guys should see this face.
Put that thinking face on.
And I have been. I guess... I think it also defies the expectation of what Māori theatre should be.
Hell yes, mate.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, see, that thinking face was worth it, eh? Yeah.
That gave me shivers down my spine.
No, yeah, but...
get out of that box, eh?
Yeah.
That people think of.
Yeah. So, it defies what our Māori theatre is supposed to look like. And it's also just really fun. And it's really silly. It's really silly. It's really how it felt. There's a lovely little story about how friendship comes from unexpected places.
Guys.
Yeah. And it's just...
cry.
Some other stuff is just really dorky, which is always fun.
Dorky's great.
Yeah, and all and the all some of the
all the Māori voice.
But like, it's also a very specific type of Māori humor. Like, it's very coasty Māori humor that comes out, and that's a very different. Specific.
Yeah.
Like, I see coasty Māori humor, and there are only like one or like a half of a person that went, "Oh, I know what he's on about."
Yeah.
I don't know what you're on about, so I mean, I'm excited to see it.
It's heaps of fun.
So, guys, drop us. Where can we get tickets? Where can
Because people go, what's the age group? Well, babies have watched it. Six-month-old babies have watched the whole show.
It's coloured.
Right up to, it is giant character. Mm. And also Māori myth and legend is why.
Mm.
I wanted to do this show too, to bring out all those rich
characters. Mm. Yeah. Tapac were there. Mm. School Tapac. Holidays, first Amazing. Week of school halls. Then we're at Woe Studios. Woe Studios around
Amazing.
The corner.
And you guys are with Ticketek.
We are, yeah. Well, actually, Ticketek has been our main agent, but for Tapac, it's actually calling the Tapac hotline. That's the Auckland Performing Arts Centre, mm-hmm. opposite the zoo. And we've got a really good website, www.glowshow.co.nz. Yeah.
You cannot get lost with that website.
Absolutely.
Straightforward. Yeah. All right, we're swinging over to you now, Juna. Mm. Hit us up with your plugs.
My plugs.
so weird when you say it like that, eh? I'm so uncool, like, Marianne.
Yeah. Well, I just played a gig in Auckland like 2 days ago, so it's a bit late.
Late.
If you've got a time machine, you know, go back, have a listen.
What can we expect?
Well, I'm going to be back in Auckland probably in August to play a couple solo shows, and then in September I'm going to be releasing an EP and going to do a tour of the big cities to coincide with that with a band.
Amazing.
So that's a lot of work. I suppose this first EP, this is, you know, me releasing my... I released music when I was in high school. Some people can still find that, which slightly bugs me.
Where do we find
that? Yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah. I did a...
Anyway. Yeah. You're like, I want to bury it, but I'm going to talk about it on radio.
I did an interview on RNZ, and they started bringing it up. They were like, oh, man.
Hyperventilating.
They're like, what is this song when you wrote when you were 16? What was this?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
No, there isn't. It's good because you can see your evolution, and that's really key for me personally.
Hold that close to your heart.
Yeah, exactly. But when people, you know, take the mickey out of me.
And is Arjuna Oaks your real name, or
yes.
is that your stage name?
No, that's my real name. Yes, I get asked that quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah, well, because I'm, you know.
It is.
So many people.
Cheers. It's very special to me. It's an Indian name. Arjuna is a famous warrior and archer in Hindu religion, and the Bhagavad Gita. He's like Krishna's main dude.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was born very premature. I was 11 weeks premature, and I was so small that I almost...
I was premature.
820 grams or something like that. I was very small.
I was 3 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, my parents wanted to call me a warrior's name because I had to fight to survive. And I think having a name like that really means something, well, it just makes me to appreciate to be alive. You know,
nice.
Generally.
I had this exact same combo with my mum. It's like, mum, because I'm trying to decolonize my name. You know, you talk about decolonization. For a long time, I rocked up with Infante. It's not my name.
It's a name. I mean, like, names are good for communication and for, you know, putting things in a place, but a name is not the person, you know. That's what I was talking about right at the beginning of the show, me not feeling like I want to say I'm a musician, because it's not. Because as soon
it's
as
not
you,
who you are.
Yeah, and so much so much like racism and fascism, it's all to do with names. You're this, you're that, and
labels.
They can separate.
Yeah.
But as long as we can, you know, all see our common ground, like we're all people, you know, we're all animals.
I'm a person.
Yeah, and then that gives us connectivity and gives us...
Amazing.
Yes.
Speaking of that, I'm also going to plug my show team just as we're heading out. Mira is also heading up in Wellington in September. So September 6th, we are travelling down with the Wild Dreamer production after our ASB Waterfront Theatre show, which was, we had an amazing turnout. So thank you so much, everyone. I'm Wellington. We're going to come for you, even though you're probably not listening to this show. But you will be. You will be. Yeah, you're going. Great. Awesome. It's one night only. Oh, did you hear that comp? We're here to make money, my friend. Mate, hit me up on a good night and I'll see what I can do. And another thing, guys, I know it's a bit late in the evening, but Pinai, which is a play that I wrote, it's my playwriting debut with Proudly Asian Theatre Company. It's the first Filipino-Kiwi bilingual play to exist in Aotearoa, kia ora ting. And it is inspired by how I am now, how I came to be in terms of how I connect with Aotearoa and how I found my sense of belonging with seeing people who are like me, other brown people, and how I found my connection with this land and talking about geological politics mixing with personal politics. So Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines erupted, and later down the track, through the process of migration, I find myself in Christchurch through the earthquakes. So, you know, those real, real things that happen. But yeah, guys, so we are at the Basement Theatre website, as well as the Proudly Asian Theatre page, Facebook and Instagram. At the moment, it ends today, so we have the early bird tickets, which is with the code Pilipino, if you want a $20 ticket. That's P-I-L-I-P-I-N-O. And yeah, just trying to make it a little bit more accessible for everyone so that you can come and see a show.
Yay.
Especially if you have never seen yourself represented on stage or any arts media before. But anyway, guys, check out The Glow Show. Check out Arjuna Oaks on Spotify or wherever he's going to travel around. I'll be putting them on the Kick Arts Facebook page. But other than that, we'll be back next week for another exciting episode with other guests, amazing guests. And until then, spread love and kindness, be safe, work hard, and go out there and kick some arts. We are ending the show with Jordan Rake, which is recommended by Arjuna. And this is called Midnight Mischief. Have a listen and have a good night, team.
Pomaru. Akite.
Sure.
And I waited on the filter, sold to typify. Says she called me mister under misty skies. Hit to get there quicker, rebel through the night. Cause I truly missed her universal charm. Cause she thinks it's humor and I mean no harm. Lie down and soothe this. Fall back, she says. Let's just keep this mutual. It's these lines I tread. Too much life for simple. Midnight mischief strolling through my mind. Hurt you, David, I let you be high. Rolling through my mind. It's my midnight mischief time. As the night waits, I can see her sleeping. Step down mistake. Does she know my secret? I'm in love with her. Let the love manifest. Watch me take my serve. Does she know I'm master? Watch me take control. She doesn't know what hit her. Glimpses of her soul. Has a seamless dinner. Numbers on the plate. It's my turn now. 1 minute to